always a highlight of Football Mondays, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. When Eric Wood joins in on the West Her Hotline, as he is doing right now. Of course, Eric was in the radio booth on the call of yesterday's game, along with our Sal Capaccio and play-by-play man, Chris Brown. Glad to have you with us, Eric. Mike is out sick today, so you're just stuck with me. How are you?
Is he just sick over fantasy football, or hopefully not just...
I can't... I didn't get details. I just knew he wasn't coming. I want to start with something a little silly, if you're up for it, because I saw your tweet this morning about the airport.
Yeah.
And you're a busy guy. You've got these commitments, different media things, so I don't know. Maybe you didn't have a day to kill in the airport. How high... Eric had one of these situations... I should just let you tell what happened. What happened to you at the airport today?
Well, so I was in a pretty delirious state. I had an 11:15 West Coast flight out of Seattle last night, red-eye overnight into Detroit. And then I had a 8:30 a.m. flight to Louisville this morning that was overbooking. They were offering two people. It started out at 500, then it went to 1,000, then it went to 1,300. I needed to get back. I had one Bills Live to do at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Needed to get back to the family. But from Detroit, that's only a little over a four-hour drive. I was thinking you could take that 1,300, rent a car, be home. My car's at the airport, so I could return it to the rental car spot at the airport. I'm not going to lie and say I considered it fully, but I put it on Twitter, like, that seemed like a pretty good number. You know,
yes.
You don't have something to do that day, especially, let's say you're sitting there with your wife and you could swipe $2,600. They come on Visa cards, so essentially, you know, you get $2,600 tax-free. Seems like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I don't travel as much as someone who's like a big wheel like you. But I've had the announcement. Do they announce the dollar amount, or is it they announce that they are looking for people to change flights and then you go up and negotiate? Like, how does that work? Because I'm having a hard time imagining the person over the public address number going, actually, we'll give you $850.
No, they were announcing it. So.
Wow.
And then you see everyone kind of looking around like, okay, well, who's going to make the first move? Because they said they would only do two.
Right.
So if someone makes the first move, you got to be pretty quick to get the second one. Eventually, I think it settled on 1,300 and two people took it.
Wow. So do they just basically negotiate against themselves? Like, so they started at 800 and then got to 1,300. Like, what kind of time frame are we talking about?
Probably... 5-ish minutes. I mean,
wow.
We were right up against the boarding, and
they're
oversold on the flight. And, you know, a couple people are going to have – the next flight back to Louisville wasn't until 4:45 p.m. So you're essentially giving up 8 hours of your time.
Right. Still a pretty that's a pretty tasty payout though, I think. So I don't know. I've had the announcement we're overbooked if anybody was willing to change, but I never heard a dollar amount attached to it, and so I was just curious how that process actually unfolds.
Yeah. And I think it's probably impacted based upon how long you're gonna have to wait till your next flight to your destination. But I would go up there and offer a big number. I mean, at this point I wouldn't be shy throwing out a pretty high number just based upon how quickly they got to 1,300 today.
Right. Eric Wood on the Western Hotline with us. Bills over the Seahawks yesterday in Seattle. I heard Chris Brown mention that you did get out for before the game for at least some appearance at a tailgate. What was the scene like there? Because I was not expecting as many thousands of Bills fans in Seattle just because, you know, it's across the continent. I was really impressed by the turnout.
I was too. I was honestly blown away by the turnout. I'm not going to lie. And I had seen a bunch of social media fans with full flights heading out. You know, I think it was that Toronto direct, you know, multiple days where that was packed with Bills fans. But even then, okay, you have a couple of flights full. What's that? You know, 200 people, let's call it. I mean, there were thousands of Bills fans in the stadium yesterday. I did an appearance for Game Day Buffalo or Game Day Hospitality yesterday and before the game, and their tailgate. This was 4 hours before the kick. It's drizzling rain, and it was slammed out there. I know there was multiple, like, structured Bills tailgates going on yesterday before the game. So it was fun to see. I saw a bunch of Bills fans at the airport last night, saw some that were in Detroit this morning, whether on my flight or other flights connecting. So it's the Bills fans are enjoying this run that we've been on. And, you know, I'm traveling in and out, whether it's home or away, I'm traveling in and out for all the games. So I get to meet a lot of Bills fans
right
at the airport. And it's fun to, you know, a lot of the people I met yesterday were, man, I'm the biggest Bills fan, but I live in Vancouver, so this is the easiest one for me to make. Or, you know, I'm in the military and I'm stationed on the West Coast, so this is the closest one
right
for me. Or we've been knocking out different stadiums and we haven't done Seattle yet because we haven't played out here since 2016. And so it's always neat for me to hear all the individual stories as well.
Yeah, awesome. I met a guy 2 seasons ago in Buffalo for that Packers game. I think it was 2 seasons ago, from Vancouver. He was like the president of the Vancouver Bills Backers Association. I'm like, Vancouver, British Columbia. All right, awesome. In my head, I'm thinking he must have been at this game yesterday, although I didn't see any social media from him indicating that he was. Well, that's just really cool. Like I heard their radio analyst, guy that does your jobs, former linebacker Dave Winham. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I actually met him yesterday before the game for the first time.
And he was on with Brownie and Steve late last week, and they asked him about the scene out there, and he said, you know, guys, the last couple of years, there's been more and more opposing fans. It's not like it used to be, and that sort of got my attention, and I wondered how much we'd notice Bills fans out there, but it sounds like they did a great job.
I was on the field for pregame, and let me preface this by saying, generally the away fans go into the stadium before the home crowd. Home crowd's got their weekly traditions. They got their tailgate set up. You know, they're around all their buddies. So, and the away fans want to come in. They want to check out the stadium early. So it's fairly normal for there to be more more away fans, or a higher percentage than what's going to end up for the game. But when the teams ran out for warmups, you couldn't tell if it was the Bills or the Seahawks running out. And, I mean, you would talk about getting juiced up as a player. Not that you need any extra motivation for most NFL football games, but it's a good feeling when that happens.
Yeah, I love that McDermott mentioned it yesterday, and I know numerous players also commented about it, which is why I wanted to take it up with you. Eric Wood on the Western Hotline with us here. Bills improved to 6-2 over Seattle yesterday, 31-10. So the game itself, Eric, I want to start with your area of expertise, or what certainly the position you play. That offensive line is just mashing people.
They look like they're having fun out there, I'll say that. I mean, just highlight blocks, and, you know, some of it is they're putting them in positions on those little bubble screens. You get a Spencer Brown or a Deion Dawkins on a, you know, nickel guy in space, a safety. If the receiver sets them up, it takes a receiver to put that block on you, but those guys are just train wrecking guys. The run game was going yesterday. If they didn't have those ticky-tack holding calls, James Cook likely over 150 on the ground. And, yeah, they're playing well up front. And I tried to continue to defend the offensive line through the Baltimore and Houston week, saying, look, when you're down 3 scores, any offensive line in the league is going to look bad. It's just how it is. You're getting goofy pressures from defensive coordinators that aren't afraid about, you know, having an unsound blitz and giving up 20 yards when you're up 3 scores. And so any offensive line is going to look pedestrian in those games. But they've put together a great body of work this year. Seems like the Bills made a really smart investment in Spencer Brown at right tackle, getting him re-signed. Deion just continues to play at a high level. And then that interior three, I feel like they're really coming into their own. You got David Edwards going in at left guard, kind of shuffling at that center and left guard spot up front. And it seems like that middle three is really coming to their own as well. And then you bring Alec Anderson in off the bench as your sixth lineman. He plays with a ton of attitude up front. And then you got guys, I mean, obviously not offensive linemen, but it takes everyone in the run game to be able to spring some of those bigger runs. Guys like Mac Hollins, Keon Coleman was...
Dude, yeah, what was...
I don't know what was said to him pregame yesterday. I don't know if the Seahawks said something. I don't know if the Bills said something to him. But whatever was said, let's continue to say that. I mean, he came out and played with his hair on fire yesterday. Obviously, he gets that personal foul when he drives that dude into the bench. But, look, you talk about a rookie earning some respect from his teammates. You take a Pro Bowl corner that's 6'4", and stick his nose on the bench because you blocked him that far. I mean, after the game, I want to sign Kleta to this game. That was awesome.
Right. So, with all that said, Eric, I love what they're doing in the run game up there, and we know that since Joe Brady took over in the back end of last season that they've been a more run-heavy type team. Something else I liked yesterday, though, you mentioned Alec Anderson. They threw out of that. Like, and it's not the first time they did it. They had a nice touchdown to Keon Coleman in the Jacksonville game that I think was out of that as well, with Anderson on as the sixth O-lineman. But even the first play of the game, two tight ends, and here's Dawson Knox. Like, it looks – it's a tendency breaker, and I like that a lot because the Bills have been running on first downs, I think, over 60% of the time on the year. And yesterday, I think maybe 9 of 14 in the first half were first down plays were passes. And I feel like that they have enough faith in their passing game to mix that up.
Absolutely. And I thought it was interesting. Chris Brown interviewed Bobby Babbage for the pregame interview. And Bobby Babbage said at this kind of week 8 mark of the season, you start getting some heavy tendencies where you have to self-scout those and go against them at times just because you have to understand what your natural tendencies are as a coordinator. Bobby Babbage, first-time play caller, he's got to see, okay, am I starting games off more conservative? Maybe I need to bring pressure early in game, just mix that up. Is Joe Brady getting into this rhythm of run, pass early in games to where we need to start off the game with a shot over the middle of the field where the linebackers are expecting run as well? And so I felt like on both sides of the ball, they came out more aggressive early in this game and allowed them to get off to a faster start. And, you know, this Bills team, when they've been able to start fast in games, when they've scored first in games, they're on their first drive of the game this season, they're 3-0 in those games. And so we'll see how that plays out throughout the rest of the year. But when they've been able to get into a rhythm early, it just seems like that continues throughout the game.
Yeah, the fast start was, I think, something that was emphasized, and they definitely got that. 3-and-out, touchdown. How about Seattle? I mean, the Bills had some good fortune in this game, too. Obviously, the botched snap down at the goal line, and then the next series after the interception. Good thing Allen got in there and made the tackle, keep that guy out of the end zone, because they ended up going 4-and-out from there when Geno Smith tripped on his center. That was just really bad luck.
It is bad luck. Now, the play you tripped on your center, he's getting tripped up because you have penetration up front. So when those defenses.
Well, that is something, right?
Yeah. So when those defenses. And look, that was something as a center you're always worried about. You're starting the play with your hand between your legs. You know, if they both fire off, if both those guys on either side of you fire off into you and the guard doesn't take some of that, it's really hard not to go backwards when you've got to complete the snap. And so if either of your feet come back and you trip up the quarterback, that's exactly what happened. And so, and not that those defensive tackles are walking up there saying, if I can push the center back, we're going to trip up the quarterback. But they're obviously trying to penetrate in the middle of that defense. And so it was a hell of a stop by the Bills there. A number of high snaps from a seventh-year center. I didn't expect that out of Connor Williams yesterday. But he was struggling out there. And the rain, generally when it's rainy like that, you get a slick ball, and that's where you see some of the balls. The shotgun snaps go low because you can't complete the snap because it slips on you. He was flinging it over Geno's head. Only one goes for a fumble over his head, but there was multiple that were fairly high. And so, yeah, the Seahawks did hurt themselves. These weren't as crucial, but I felt like the Bills, between the penalties and then special teams-wise, really hurt their field position in this game where they ended up racking up a ton of yards because of it. But it also made, you know, drives last longer, a couple of their punts, maybe they're across midfield by the time, you know, they have to make a decision on fourth down. But because of decision-making, penalties, whatever it may be, I felt like the Bills hurt themselves field position-wise.
I have not seen numbers on this, but it feels to me like illegal formation, two men in motion, that kind of stuff, not just in Bills games, all over the league, it feels like I'm just seeing more of that. That might just be, you know, me reacting to a moment here, but it just feels like I'm seeing more of that. How can Sean, I'm sure McDermott, he's talking while we're talking, or was, I don't know if he still is going. I'm sure he's being asked about penalties, and it'll be a point of emphasis this week because they've had a couple of games now here pretty recently. The Jet game was like this too, where it was like, the most penalties in the league so far this year or something like that. Not just on the Bills, but both teams. Pre-snap stuff, though. What can you do to work on that? Because that just seems like that would be the one. I mean, holding, pass interference, stuff is going to happen. You're battling, you know, and they don't call it all the time. But the pre-snap stuff has got to be really frustrating.
Yeah, that's the stuff that we always say, that's inexcusable. Like, you got to focus, you know, if it happens once or twice because you're trying to get the perfect jump on the ball, fine. But when you're going off on the wrong cadence or you sent two guys in motion and one guy wasn't supposed to be in motion, you know, that's just being sloppy as an offense. And that's concentration, it's focus, it's preparation, and Sean's going to harp on that. And, you know, I'm with you. The calls are up, it seems like, this year now. Chris Brown set it up in the pregame yesterday that the Bills had the officiating crew coming in giving the most penalties in the league so far this season, and they sure lived up to it. I believe there was 32 flags thrown in the game. I'm not sure, maybe right around 20 or so accepted, but I think there was 32 flags thrown throughout the game. There was some offsetting and whatnot, so really crushes the flow of the game, especially from a broadcasting perspective when you're trying to make a point after a play, but the officials got to talk.
Uh-huh.
He's going to cut right over the top of you every time you go to make a point. Well, then you lay out. Well, then they have this 30-second discussion about the play, and now you got dead airspace. So, but all that to say, you know, they got to focus in. Now, when you have these more and more complex offenses, teams are using motion more and more to their advantage these days. You know, if you have won a game, you take it. Just based upon the fact that you're catching an advantage in so many situations using motion to be able to either compromise the defense, confuse them, not let your guys get jammed up at the line of scrimmage.
Well, that's a good observation. Motion has got to be up around the league. It's become one of those keys to like unlocking your passing game, I think. Yep. So coordinators are using it more and more, so it stands to reason with more of it being used, there would be more mistakes while using it. Last thing I want to ask you about, just before you came on, I was talking about what Anthony Richardson did yesterday with the Colts. Did you see this? I know you were traveling and you've had this day, but do you know that in the third quarter of the game, the Colts starting quarterback like tapped out for a line change?
Yes, I heard about this, and I've never seen that. I heard Mark Sanchez make a joke on Colin Cowherd earlier today that, I mean, at least make up that your hamstring was tight.
Right.
just say, well, I got a little tight hamstring. Okay, never mind. I'm good to go. Yeah, I've never seen that. It's pretty common that the six players throughout an NFL game that don't come off the field are the five offensive linemen and the quarterback. Now, sometimes you have your corners play every single snap or whatever it is.
Right, right.
But as far as the offensive side of the ball, the quarterback and the offensive line stay on the field.
Right.
And so that's not a great look. I would have made something up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like anything. I'm wondering if he knows how football works. Like, and that's the quarterback of your team. Like, I don't know. It blew my mind when I heard about that.
Yeah, either that or he said he was tired to cover something else up. Like,
no.
He had to use the restroom, or I don't know if he got hit and he was trying to cover up a head. I don't know what he was doing. But if he truly was just tired and he was just being completely honest, it's a bad look.
Yeah, it is a bad look. All right, so Miami rolling in here. I would imagine, you know, we're going to be hearing about desperation and backs to walls and those kinds of things. And maybe, you know, conversely, on the Bills side, like, maybe they're a little too comfortable. They got a big lead in the division. Like, how do they stay sharp? Because I think Miami, whatever they're capable of, they will be bringing everything they've got, I would think, to this game, because it feels like their season must be on the line here.
Yeah, they're pretty close to it. And so the Bills got to be ready for Mike McDaniel to throw the kitchen sink at them. It'll be Tua's second start back, likely a little bit sharper than he was a week ago, or yesterday, I'll say. And then that offense looked much better. And it's not like Tua made some incredible plays down the field. That offense just runs a whole lot smoother. when he's in there. And so, you know, the Bills played well down in Miami. The game really got away from him when Tua went out of the game. But Bills had a nice lead before he yep. went out. And so Bills got to take care of business. And it's a week-to-week league. And the Bills, these last couple weeks, last 3 weeks, have been playing some really good football. And so they'd love to keep that going. Look, this is only your fourth time playing in front of your home crowd this year. I know they're excited to get back at home.
All right, Eric, sounds good. Thank you. Safe travels this week, and we'll see you up here this weekend.
Okay, sounds good.
That's our man, Eric Wood. His weekly appearance here on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. All right, we're at a timeout here. Phone lines are open. You want to get in on the vibes yesterday out there? If you were out there, feel free to call and share what being in Seattle was like. If you weren't and just were impressed by it, love to hear from you. I feel great today about this season so far. I mean, 6-2. Who would not have signed in blood back in August for 6-2? To start the season. Yes, they lost very likely to the two best teams they've played so far this year, and that can, you know, stick in your craw a little bit, but through 8 games, 6-2 is absolutely a record I would have taken. So feel really good about where they're at, the way the conferences look. I just don't feel like there's anybody that's too good for them right now. So that's a pretty good place to be just about halfway through your 17-game season. 803-0550 is the phone number if you'd like to get in and join the conversation. I would love to hear from you. Sal Capaccio will join the show in about 35 minutes at 5 o'clock, so we've got that to look forward to as well, but your calls are certainly welcomed right after this as we continue. Mike Shope is out sick today, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
A massive part is their rookie receiver, Keon Coleman. I think, number one, his feel in zone has really started to show up. Number two, his strength getting off of coverage down the field and realizing I'm open, get my eyes back to the quarterback. I think his understanding of the contested tough catches down in the red zone have continued to show themselves. And when he needs to expect the football from his quarterback, if he continues to take some of these steps like he has over the past 2 or 3 weeks, he, along with Shakir Kincaid, they become a very dangerous pass catching group.
Dan Orlovsky on ESPN talking about Keon Coleman. Another show up and show out performance from him. A little bit of an edge there. There's some chatter going on between he and Woolen out on the field, and then that block where he got penalized. I mean, you win by 21. Like, whatever. There were, I think, that was offsetting penalties on that, as it turned out anyway. So it didn't even really ding them. But, man, Coleman's emergence is one of the things that's on the list that has me feeling so good today, because I just did not expect him to be as much of a factor this soon as he's been. I mean, he is making big plays. He's making the contested catches, but he's also running with the ball after he catches it. We've seen that now a few times. It just really is coming along here. And I think as he learns to be able to put more on his plate, I should go back and get the transcript, as I'd like to know the exact wording, but you know, I noticed this, I pointed it out yesterday on postgame. You know, we run these, you know, news conferences. Josh Allen is usually first after the game is over, and he, of course, was asked about Coleman and said something to the effect of, when he knows what he's supposed to be doing, he's been really good. Something to that effect. It may not have been that critical. It probably was more couched than that. But basically the sentiment was, like, when, you know, the stuff he knows how to do right, he does really well. Is basically, that's a more complimentary way to say it. I'm paraphrasing the whole thing anyway, but the spirit of the thing was, like, made me think there's more there, which makes sense. He's a rookie coming out of college, you know, it's going to take some time to learn all the nuances of playing the position in the NFL and all the different route concepts and all the different stuff that you can expect to need to learn. Maybe he's not all the way there yet, which you know, on one hand, you might go like, oh man, I wish he'd picked everything up faster. On the other hand, he's already impacting games positively for the Bills. And there might be, I'm saying might because, you know, I don't know for sure, but it sounds to me like there might be more there, you know? When he gets more comfortable and confident and they get more comfortable and confident in him, and when he knows how to do more things, moving him around could be really a weapon for them, could get really interesting with him. And it's already really, really good. 803-0550 is the phone number. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is out sick today. Lines are open for you right now. You want to talk about yesterday's game. You want to talk about the AFC. You want to talk about the AFC East. Whatever. You want to talk about that incredible Hail Mary last night from Washington by Jaden Daniels. You know, everything's on the table here as we're making our way through a Football Monday, which is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Allie is up first this segment. Hi, Allie. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, thank you for having me. I was just going to call in. I got to go to the game yesterday with my dad. I took him for his 60th birthday.
Awesome.
And it was my mom and my sister were watching it back in Wyoming and were like texting us, and they were saying like, oh my gosh, we can hear like Bills Mafia on the TV. And we were way, way, way up in like the nosebleeds, but it felt, I've been to one Bills game like in Highmark, and it felt like we were surrounded by Bills fans. And it was, I would imagine, very, very demoralizing for the Seahawks fans. It was awesome. Halftime, it was like a big Bills tailgate party.
Love it.
Despite the rain and all of that. Yeah, people were like in a froth. It was pretty, pretty great. We made our way down to that lower bowl, and I think probably there was maybe 40 people in our section that all did the same thing at the end to like go, you know, basically tip our hats for the boat racing that just happened. But anyways, it was really great. It was sort of like gleeful. It was how bad they were playing and how good we were playing. So, it kind of felt like a party pretty much from the time Keon snatched that touchdown with the, whatever his right hand or left hand, the one-handed grab, through to the end.
Really great. Really great. Great job taking your 60-year-old dad to an away Bill. Well, does he live in Wyoming too?
He does. Yeah. I transplanted down to Denver, but we're from Wyoming. And
awesome.
We wanted to get out in the Seattle game. There was tons of Bills fans from Montana and Idaho, all of us in the Western, you know, Bills Mafia diaspora came and showed out. So it was really, really fun. And it sounds like it made its way through the TV as well. So
yeah, it definitely did, Allie. There's no question about it. Thank you for the call, really, and for sharing the story. Yeah, it definitely came through on TV. Where I really noticed it the most was that once the game ended, I caught just a couple of glimpses of it on social media. I mentioned this on postgame yesterday. I mean, I don't know. You don't really need to know the inner workings and machinations of how we do this. But, like, you know, we get done. The game ends. I don't get to see Tom Brady talking to Josh Allen on the field because we're doing our own version of that. And so we're getting ready, and I just usually don't see that end of the game scene when we're on postgame. And at some point, maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes into our postgame coverage here on WGR, I started seeing social media posts of the lower bowl. I wouldn't say it was full of fans, but like Bills fans, like Allie is saying, all gathered behind the bench, and some players were out there interacting with them, and it was just a super cool scene, which is what prompted me to even mention it yesterday on postgame. That was just such a cool scene, it's the best. it just is. Greg is up next. Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, you were talking about Coleman, and I just want to, you know, talk about the excitement around him. When they drafted him, I was just hoping he would be Gabe Davis, that role. You know what I mean? Get your 700 yards, your 7 or 8 touchdowns, and then Shakir and Kincaid can take, you know, the additional reps that Diggs used to get. And it would even out, and the offense would look all right. If you were to trade Davis, you know, trade me Davis for Coleman right now, nobody would take that trade.
No.
He already surpassed what Davis does. and is an upgrade to that position as a rookie. So it just leaves you to, you know, there's so much more on the plate there. But he's more dynamic in the field. And the selection of throws, you know, they threw those two, you know, little jump balls in the end zone to him early. Davis doesn't get those balls, and I can't remember any Bills getting those kind of chances where they just lob it up to you, and they did it twice, and the kid showed out by making the one-handed grab, you know, to put confidence that he can do that at any point instead of slamming Josh Allen in there. You have a player that can make that type of play, just something that we haven't seen before, and you could just tell Josh is more confident in passing to him. It grows every week than he ever was in Davis. So in terms of just year one of a rookie that you're not sure about, you know, filling a role of a player that just left. He's already surpassed it, and he's still got half a season to go. He's going to get his 700 yards and 7 touchdowns, which is what Gabe Davis did consistently. And this kid, obviously, you'd think there's more meat on the bone there. So a lot of excitement around this player. It's Bean did a good job, and it's just fun to watch him. He's got some personality, and you know, the expectations were not high, and he's definitely surpassed everything I thought he was going to do already. So. Just loving how that pick and the player and how it's evolving.
Gotcha, Greg. Thank you. Appreciate the call very much. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot there. I mean, 100% would not go anywhere near. Gabe Davis was fine. He was a fine player, but limited. And to me, never, ever had potential to become more than what he was. And, like, there is value. Jacksonville valued it. The Bills valued it to a certain extent. They didn't value it to the tune of $13 million a year in a free agent contract, but it has value. But what Davis was never going to become was a number one receiver. And we'll see about Coleman ascending to that. I think it's not nuts to be thinking about it. And with how well he's already playing and the big play potential that you see from him, I think it's on the table. And I really wasn't expecting that idea to be in any of our heads this early, if at all this year. But I think you're seeing this player develop in real time and make progress in real time. And what he did yesterday, I mean, that's one of the best cover corners in the league. And Coleman had a day. I mean, it wasn't as prolific as last week, of course, but still, making that play in the end zone and some of the other things he did in the game, and really the body of work so far. The numbers overall, 21 receptions, 3 touchdowns, almost 400 yards, 386, I see, 396. I can't, boy, I'm squinting. My eyes are so bad. It's been really good. He's averaging 18.9 yards per reception. That is a nice number right there. Certainly there are bigger name rookie receivers that are performing. Marvin Harrison Jr., sure, Malik Nabers, who's going to play tonight. He's been out for a couple of games, but has been back. You know, bigger names, more accolades, and, you know, they're producing. Coleman is right there. I mean, he is right there, and it's just a tremendous development for them to have that moving forward. And it his playing like he's playing already, and Shakir playing like he's playing. I mean, do you even think about? I'm seeing on Twitter, McDermott talked a little while ago, and they're still, you know, they don't have updates really on guys who missed yesterday's game, Bernard and Curtis Samuel. And like I said last week, DeSalle, Curtis Samuel, who, what, where, huh? Where does he fit in exactly? I mean, right now, I've got Coleman and I've got Cooper and I have got Shakir, and like those are my dudes, man. I am riding with them. I think, sure, other guys will have roles, but I think this team would be insane not to be heavily leaning on those three in their receiving core. I think it would be nuts. So we'll see how that unfolds as we keep moving forward here. Thank you again for the calls. 803-0550 is the number. Time for you to get in. Vibes yesterday in Seattle. Vibes overall. However you're feeling, we're here to talk about it. Mike is out sick today along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR. be rolling through a Football Monday with you here on WGR. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. The Bills cruising altitude here at 6-2. The division is in shambles. The conference, you know, yeah, Kansas City is out there 7-0. They've already had their bye. But they are coming here in a couple of weeks, and I don't know, man. All I really need is for them to drop a game. It's probably not likely. I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but they don't have very tough games coming up here. Hang on. You know what? Now that I said it, now I got to go find it. Their next two games, I think my recollection is that they're very winnable. Tampa. Tampa's having a year. They keep losing these tough, high-scoring games. I think they've scored the most points in the league the last 3 weeks, but they haven't won. Anyway, Tampa on Monday night, and then they've got Denver, and then it's the Bills on the 17th of November. So, and that's a Monday nighter for the Chiefs hosting Tampa coming up next week. That's not, to me, that's not automatic. No game they play is automatic. And I know I say the same thing about the Bills. The Bills could lose to Miami on Sunday. It would not blow my mind at all. Okay, it's as high and as good as I'm feeling today. That's why it's important to embrace how high and good I'm feeling today. Because once the week gets going, and I start thinking about Tyreek Hill, I get a little worried. But the Chiefs, to me, aren't, despite the perfect record, they're just as capable of losing to anybody they play, just like any other team to me. They're not, to me, despite that perfect record, head and shoulders above. They've not proven that to me. Playoffs, different story, but right now, I feel like they can get got. So all we really need is next Monday to not go their way, for Tampa to upset them next Monday night. And then whatever happens with Denver the following week, they're coming in here with one loss. Hopefully the Bills take care of business against Miami and Indianapolis, and you're playing a head-to-head game with them to tie them for the best record in the conference. That's what you should be shooting for here. And I think that's in the window. I think that is still in the window. So I'm feeling good about that. Also got some closure on, we had a clip we played earlier from a bit of an interview that Tom Brady did with Josh Allen after the game yesterday. And Josh said something about thanks for the trophy. And I didn't really know what that meant because I didn't really watch the segment. I don't usually get to watch the football postgame show because we're doing our radio postgame show. But Josh Allen, thank you, Celeste on Twitter, sent this my way. Brady gives out a LFG player of the game. What's LFG stand for? Wrong answers only. Okay, so that was what that was all about. Thank you for that, Celeste. Appreciate it. All right, let's take a time out. I know what LFG stands for. I think it's kind of surprising that the Fox Network has a trophy with Brady's name on it named that, but yeah, whatever. Not for me to judge. 803-0550 is the number. Sal Capaccio straight ahead with me going over everything that's gone on so far here, 8 weeks into the season, with the Bills sitting at 6-2. So we'll chop it all up with Sal right after this on WGR.